Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, everybody, this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirt. Today we're here to talk about the Over the Limit pay-per-view, which, boy, at the last stockholders meeting, Vince McMahon said that they were in the entertainment business, not the sports business. So therefore, pay-per-view offerings from companies like UFC do not really impact their business because they're an entertainment company. They're all about the mainstream entertainment in America. So when you put a pay-per-view on the same night as the finale of one of the largest TV shows in history, you really kind of got to wonder how many people are going to be watching the show. And if you had a kick-ass show, if you had a show that was miles and miles beyond expectations, a great show, you might get people to go ahead and buy the replay. However, all the feedback from last night's pay-per-view has been largely negative. That's because the show wasn't very good. The show was plagued by injuries, some backstage politicking, and above all else, it was on the same night as the anniversary of the death of Owen Hart at the Over the Edge pay-per-view. A lot of people in WWE didn't realize that it was the anniversary of that event because most people in WWE just haven't been around that long. And so they didn't realize it until sometime earlier this weekend when it started to spread on the internet. Hey, guess what? Over the Limit, Over the Edge, anniversary. Bad idea. So all in all, it looks like the buy rate on the show is going to be probably piss poor, which means you'll never see an Over the Limit pay-per-view again. Maybe they'll bring back Fully Loaded, which, if I recall correctly, we saw one Fully Loaded pay-per-view in 2000, never saw the name again. So who knows? We may see that return, but you know, overall, the big picture here was not a good night for WWE. Some problems beyond their control, some problems were things they should have nipped in the bud. But what can you do? Show opened with Drew McIntyre versus Kofi Kingston, and I think the majority of people assumed that Drew McIntyre was going to win. After all, he's the future of the company. Vince McMahon's hand-picked guy to be the future face of the WWE. Funny thing is that Drew McIntyre has been building a reputation backstage as being difficult. He's been full of himself. He just is hard to get along with. And so what happened was he goes out to have this match with Kofi Kingston. And they had a match that was fine. It was kind of interesting when you think that, of course, Drew McIntyre is going to win. And the way they're kind of building the matchup seems a little awkward, but eventually, what happens is Kofi Kingston goes for the Trouble in Paradise, misses. Drew McIntyre tries to follow up with something. I forget what it is, but quickly Kofi hits an SOS. So he, the double arm DDT. He gets out of the double arm DDT, hits the SOS. So the match wasn't very long, but it was kind of exciting in certain spots. It worked itself all right. It was fine. Suddenly, Kofi Kingston wins and gets the title and starts celebrating. And so Drew McIntyre grabs the microphone and says that he wants Teddy Long to come out right now, reverse the decision, give him his title back, because, of course, we just saw that on SmackDown. So, okay, you're thinking it makes sense, storyline-wise, that Teddy Long was going to do that. So he's sitting there waiting for Teddy Long, and instead Matt Hardy's music comes out. Now, Matt Hardy is not looked on very favorably by most within the brass of WWE, within the booking committees. They like the guy because he's pretty loyal to the company, but at the same time, he doesn't have the look that they want. He doesn't wrestle the style that they want. He is not a guy that they have any sort of plans for. So he comes in, goes down to the ring, gets in the face of McIntyre. The two of them face off, and then suddenly Matt Hardy hits him with the Twist of Fate, celebrates, and leaves McIntyre laying there. It was just very kind of awkward the way he was suddenly buried here tonight, because with everything they've done with the guy, getting him fired from the company that was supposed to be a super long program, then they turned that around, brought him back the next week for absolutely no reason, threw him in this match on the pay-per-view, then jobbed him out, basically, and then laid him out at the hands of Matt Hardy. It just kind of shows a complete burial here of Drew McIntyre, which is a bad sign for Drew McIntyre, very similar to what they did to Randy Orton a few years ago, when he came in, hit it really big, and then suddenly got a big attitude. They dropped him from a whole bunch of stuff. He had to work his way back, and it's worked for Randy Orton. They said he has a much better attitude backstage. He's a much better guy to get along with, I guess you could say. So they're hoping that this will teach McIntyre a lesson. So they do a video recap, whatever. Next up, we get Ted DiBiase versus R-Truth as our next match. And again, I think if you asked people, the odds-on favorite here was going to be that Ted DiBiase was going to win this match. But what happens here, he was not booked to win. R-Truth was booked to win. R-Truth won this match. However, there was this very awkward moment early on in the match where the two guys were facing off. DiBiase came down with Virgil. He was, getting mad at R-Truth, saying, that should have been you. That was supposed to be your position, blah, 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 blah. He slaps R-Truth across the face. R-Truth, in turn, slaps DiBiase across the face. And it looked like it legit knocked him silly. He kind of awkwardly stumbled backward and fell into the corner. R-Truth started hammering him with punches that he wasn't selling hardly at all. R-Truth kind of backed off, walked around the ring, ran back up, grabbed him, started hitting him, and he started kind of selling again and started getting back into it. But it was very reminiscent of the match from SummerSlam, I believe it was 2000, when Kurt Angle got knocked silly in the middle of the match. It didn't last as long as that because it was just a slap, but it really seemed to just daze DiBiase there for a little bit. R-Truth eventually hit his lie detector, his corkscrew clothesline thing, and again, the match didn't have a whole lot of time. It felt kind of rushed in a couple spots, and I don't know if they had to call an audible once DiBiase got slapped, and because he recovered and he kept wrestling, but you could still tell in a couple spots. He did a spot where he got thrown outside of the ring, and it seemed like his eyes were still kind of glazed over a little bit. So very awkward to it, but R-Truth won, which was awesome. And R-Truth, big victory for him. Virgil was there. He didn't do anything, though. He just kind of stood there and watched. At one point, he looked like he was going to get into a confrontation with R-Truth, but it was just so DiBiase could attack him from behind. He jumped up on the apron for a distraction. But other than that, Virgil really didn't do anything. And after DiBiase left, he just kind of helped him up. So not a whole lot going on with Virgil. Who knows how long he will last there in the WWE in his glorious return. I'm sure Virgil hopes it'll be over before San Diego Comic-Con so that he can go sell more $20 autographed photos at his Wrestling Superstar Virgil booth. They cut backstage, and Drew McIntyre was talking to Teddy Long in his office. He said, you have to overturn the match. You have to give me my title back. Teddy Long just said no. Drew McIntyre said, you have to fire Matt Hardy. Teddy Long said no. So Drew McIntyre started picking up ottomans and throwing them at the walls. He started to grab the photo of Martin Luther King Jr. that was hanging on the wall. But then he said he wasn't going to break it because he knew that Martin Luther King Jr. was a leader and Teddy Long was not. And He said he was more like Martin Luther King Jr. than Teddy would ever be, and he stormed out. Which, not a very good line, on the one hand, and I have no idea what this proves or where it's going. Again, just another burial for Drew McIntyre. Stood up to Teddy Long. Teddy Long simply told him no. After everything that happened with coming back with the letter, you would think Teddy Long would be a little intimidated. You'd think when Drew McIntyre was throwing furniture around his office and breaking things, he would be intimidated. He was not. So, weird. They did Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. Rey Mysterio joining Straight Edge Society versus CM Punk getting a haircut. Straight Edge Society banned from ringside. They had the barber chair set up at ringside. They had their little cart full of lots of Edge shaving gel. Which, by the way, if you were watching the Lost finale, you saw a very awkward commercial with John Cena, where apparently a man was in a public restroom and had just used the facilities. There was a hidden camera. He came out. He was washing his hands. And John Cena kicked the door off of one of the stalls, came busting out, asked this guy if he was ready to take the Edge shave gel or the Fusion. Maybe it was the Gillette Fusion challenge. And basically had the guy lather up, get ready to shave right there in the bathroom. And then the commercial ended. And so I'm not sure what the point of the commercial was, other than apparently John Cena likes to stalk strange men in public restrooms and get them to shave on camera. Weird fetish. Snitsky liked feet. John Cena likes dude shaving, I guess. Weird. Regardless, though, they had all that shaving stuff, Gillette Fusion razors, Edge shave gel, sitting there on that little cart, and of course the electric clippers, which they actually used, but... So Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, they have a match, lots of back and forth, pretty good action. The match was really kind of fun. I'd have to say it was probably my favorite match of the night, better than the main event. These two guys had a good match. I still don't think it was the quality of the match they had on SmackDown 2 months ago when they, kicked off all this stuff. But Rey Mysterio, he wins. So he's not going to be a member of the Straight Edge Society. And again, I think if you ask people, odds on favorite, Rey Mysterio was going to lose, join the Straight Edge Society. But apparently, Rey Mysterio wants to take a vacation. He wants to be off TV for a month or so. He wants to go back home, spend some time with his family and his kids. It's summertime. They're getting out of school. Going to have some fun. Fine. Whatever. But for some reason, they could not, pre-tape a bunch of Straight Edge Society skits with Rey Mysterio. They couldn't, agree to get him live via satellite once a week doing some sort of crazy shenanigans, whatever. They just decided, well, he wants to take a vacation, so therefore he has to win the match so that he can leave. So this feud that they had been talking about stringing along until big payoff at SummerSlam, not happening now. It's over. Rey Mysterio won. So after he wins, he gets attacked by CM Punk. Straight Edge Society comes running out. They grab handcuffs. The mystery masked man comes out. They all attack Rey. They're getting ready to handcuff him to the ropes when suddenly out comes, of all people, Kane. Kane, who you will note, if you watch the pay-per-view, is injured. He has a bad ankle. He was limping all the way down to the ring. He attacked all the guys and fought Luke Gallows backstage with a limp. Because apparently, WWE saying, well, Rey is gone, we have to put CM Punk in a feud with somebody. They said Luke Gallows and Kane have some history because Luke Gallows was the fake Kane. So they had Kane come out and attack. So the question is, are they just doing that because, well, we've seen these two guys work together before. It was god-awful. We think we can fix it this time, or are they going to acknowledge that Luke Gallows was the fake Kane? Remains to be seen, but Kane is going to be your storyline instead of Rey Mysterio for at least the next month, even though Kane is injured. So, of course, Rey Mysterio ends up handcuffing CM Punk to the ropes, hits him with the 619 to knock him silly, and then grabs the electric clippers and shaves off a fair amount of his head. He didn't actually shave him bald, but kind of gave him that kind of weird in-between bald long hair that Britney Spears going into rehab had. If you remember that funky looking look, did that to him. And, you know, CM Punk did a really good job selling. They did the whole mirror spot afterwards showing him that his head had been shaved and he freaked out and kicked and did a pretty good job with all that stuff. But a big problem with the match was right in the middle. CM Punk, he hit his head on something. I don't remember exactly what happened, but he had to get 13 staples in his head afterwards to stop the bleeding. So that tells you how big the cut was on his head. And they actually stopped the match. Referee called in one of the ringside attendant guys. They attempted to stop the bleeding. CM Punk threw Rey Mysterio to the outside. He crashed into the barber chair, and he was out there selling that he was hurt so these guys could come in and try to close up his head. And they couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it. And Rey Mysterio was wobbly, trying to get up, fell back down. They couldn't do it, they couldn't do it, they couldn't do it. Rey Mysterio climbs up on the apron, falls back down, couldn't do it, couldn't do it, couldn't do it. So finally Rey Mysterio is like, screw it, it's been 5 minutes. And he crawls back in the ring, and CM Punk just kind of pushes the guys away, runs over, hits him with the baseball slide. So because of that whole stoppage with the head, if they had completely cut that out, if they hadn't done that in order to stop the bleeding, I think the match would have been much better, but that killed a lot of the heat and was a pretty big problem. So that was that. They cut to Jericho and Big Show backstage. They were talking about how Jericho said Big Show had a whole lot of arrogance, and Jericho thanked Big Show for having this huge ego because it allowed him to meet The Miz and team up with The Miz. And Jericho said that Big Show and Brett should be a tag team. He thought it'd be funny to see those huge ego guys on one team together. And Big Show just basically said, I'm going to knock both of you guys out. And said to Jericho, I'm going to knock you out, revive you, and knock you out again. And Jericho and The Miz were both appalled and shocked and scared and backed off. We had Miz and Jericho versus the Hart Dynasty for the Unified Tag Team Championships. And they worked really hard. This was actually a pretty good match. These guys all did a good job. But the crowd did not care for the Hart Dynasty. The crowd did not care for The Miz. The only person they really cared about in this entire match was Jericho. So at the point where the Hart Dynasty, Harry Smith gets worked over, makes the hot tag to Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd comes in, starts doing all his high-flying stuff. Did not get much of a reaction out of the crowd. Definitely not as much as it should have gotten for being, the hot tag moment. And it's really kind of a shame because, again, the match was pretty good. I think if you go back and watch this match, without the context of the rest of the show, it was quite enjoyable. But because of everything else that had happened, up to this point, people were just kind of like, oh, whatever, just want to get to some of these main event matches. And they didn't care for these new guys. Maybe they don't watch SmackDown. That's entirely possible. Maybe just watching Hart Dynasty on Raw, you just don't really know who these guys are and don't really care about them a whole lot. But just did not get a reaction. Of course, nobody likes Miz. And so, Jericho was the only guy getting a reaction out of the crowd. And, of course, he lost. So the crowd was not really, all that into anything that was going on in this match. But they did the Hart Foundation heart attack on Miz, and Harry Smith ended up getting the pin, and so they retained the titles, and it was really too early to take the titles off the Hart Dynasty unless you were just going to bury them anyway. So having them retain here is good for them because it shows the company is still behind them, although I'm kind of afraid that they'll just go, oh gosh, nobody reacted on the show, we got to get rid of them, instead of going, oh gosh, nobody reacted on the show, we need to do a better job of promoting SmackDown and getting people to watch it. What can you do, though? We got Edge versus Randy Orton. And middle of the match, they started out, the match was not that great, actually, when it started out. It was pretty slow. I know personally, I Randy Orton as a face just seems like this total failed experiment. He needs to go back to heel. Seeing him and Edge in this match, Edge should have been face. He should have been heel for this match. I like Edge as a heel, don't get me wrong, but for the purposes of this match, these two guys wrestling, it should be Orton heel, Edge face. That's going to work the best between these guys. It didn't. It was reversed. Match was, it was slow, plodding, just wasn't very good. Finally, Orton throws Edge into the corner, gets ready to do the RKO, and starts slamming his hand on the mat, like he always does when he's ready for the RKO. He slams his hand on the mat, and suddenly his arm dangles. And he grabs his wrist, and he yells out, "Wait! Wait!" And so Edge just kind of stops and doesn't quite turn around for the RKO like he's supposed to. He just kind of waits there for a minute. And the referee kind of says something to Orton, and Orton says, "No, no." And Orton gets up, and his fist is clenched, and his arm is dangling at his side, and you can see this large bump on his shoulder. And he can't move his arm. It's just limp. It's just, you know, kind of dangling there. And he says something to the ref, and Edge turns around and hits Orton, and Orton falls to the outside, and... you know, the ref had given the X symbol and pointed to Orton, and so one of the guys came over, tried to talk to him or something, and he just told him to kind of back off, and the referee came down and tried to talk to him, and he just told him to get away. And so Edge rolls out of the ring and hits Orton a couple times, throws him up against the barricade, runs at him to hit the spear, and Orton moves out of the way. He moves like half a foot to the side so that Edge can hit the barricade. Referee does a count out while Orton just sits there holding his arm. So it was a double count out. Neither guy wins. And they had to help Orton to the back. He was having a hard time walking. He was scared. He didn't know what was going on with his arm. Apparently they said it was a dislocated shoulder, separated shoulder. Came out of the socket somehow. And... it looked like he actually hurt it when they went for a superplex off the top rope and, you know, aggravated it or whatever, and it finally popped out when he was trying to do his big moment there. But, again, the match started out pretty slow, and I think it was, you know, it was attempting to build up to something. Start out slow, then you build. And this RKO was supposed to... you know, be the first attempt, the first, you know, big impact to kind of build the energy and the momentum back up. And of course, didn't happen. I don't know if they called an audible and just said, "We have to end this, go to the outside, spear me in the barricade, let's get it over with," whatever happened. But, you know, it, of course, it ended early, because of his injury. And, that was all they could really do there. So following that bad match, now we get Jack Swagger versus The Big Show, which I don't think I'm alone in saying that nobody really expected a whole lot out of. But what ended up happening was, you know, after weeks and weeks of TV where Jack Swagger looks totally inept against The Big Show, seems totally inconsequential to The Big Show, seems totally impotent to The Big Show, he's finally getting this match on pay-per-view, and it seemed like this would be the opportunity. This is going to be the chance for Jack Swagger to prove himself as a world champion. This is going to be the opportunity that Jack Swagger has to show that he can be a world champion and defeat a guy like The Big Show, who is one of those big monsters that they push on television. So what happens... the match goes for about 5 minutes. It goes short. They just cut the match before it short because Orton got injured. So they do this match. It goes about 5 minutes. Jack Swagger cannot beat The Big Show. So he grabs a title belt and he clobbers him with it, gets DQ'd, so he retains the title. So your champion, who couldn't prove himself as champion, had this opportunity to finally prove himself, and he didn't. And this just felt like a total waste. Like, why was this? If they were going to do this, this should have been like the opening match. They should have made this the first match on the card. Just get it done, get it over with. I don't know why they dragged it on as long as they did. But it was not good. So Swagger grabs a couple chairs, or grabs a chair and hits Big Show a couple times with it, a couple chair shots. But Big Show comes back, hits a choke slam, hits Swagger with a chair, hits a choke slam onto the chair, and then knocks him out with a knockout punch. So Swagger could not beat Big Show, so he attacked him with the belt, and then when he attacks him with the chair, he can't beat Big Show, and Big Show ends up just decimating Swagger in the middle of the ring. So how this is supposed to help your world champion get over as a world champion and prove that he's not some fluke, that he can learn from everything that's been going on and become a better champion, I do not know. I don't know how this helps anything except to make sure that we're going to have to get a rematch between Jack Swagger and Big Show. And I don't know anyone who's going to give a crap about that rematch after what happened tonight. So we had a match that ended early because of an injury. Then we got this match that ended early for a DQ for this stupid storyline. Then we got Eve Torres versus Maryse for the Divas title. God bless Eve. She tries. She works really hard. She really wants to be a wrestler. Maryse does not. She is boobs. She likes to walk around in hot clothes and speak French. And, you know, she's a Playboy model that they picked up to be a wrestler. And she is just not good. And, I hate saying that this was terrible, because in many ways it wasn't terrible, because again, Eve really tries. She really wants something to happen. She really wants to succeed. She's got a drive there, but I think it's a drive that makes for good matches as someone on the rise going for the title, not a defending champion. So, bit of a problem with that match, and it's really frustrating watching that match, thinking this is the match before your main event. Usually, you know, the women's match, the women's championship match right before your main event is thrown there to be your popcorn match. That's the match where it's like, all right, it's the women. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get some refreshments. I'm going to pee. I'm going to get a beer. I'm going to get back in my seat in time for the main event. That's why it's there. But why they felt the need to put it there knowing that Jack Swagger versus Big Show was going to end in that early DQ, I don't know. And why they felt the need to leave the women's match as it was and leave the Jack Swagger Big Show match as it was after Edge Orton had to be called early because of an injury, I don't know that either. I mean, one of the great things about professional wrestling is the fact that it's scripted. The fact that you can put a show together. And when something happens and a guy gets injured and they have to end a match early, then you can go to the next guys and say, hey, we're changing the end of your match. We need you to add some more exciting stuff on there. We need you to do this, 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 this. Kill some time. Get some energy back in the crowd. And keep the show going. And, they didn't do any of that last night, which really shows a problem with the booking team, because they are writers, not bookers. And that's a very big problem. So, finally we get our main event. We had John Cena versus Batista in an I Quit match. They got about a half hour, and they used it. It was good. It was not great. Again, I still think, except for the blood stoppage in CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio, I think I like that match better overall. But this was still a good match. Cena and Batista. Funny note, though. Batista was originally supposed to end his WWE contract about 4 weeks ago and decided to extend it so that he could do this pay-per-view. And the last I heard is that he's extended it again. He's worked out some deal. WWE doesn't want Batista to leave. They want to keep him there and keep using him because he's been really incredible in his last run here. And Batista wants to leave and become an actor and do movies because he's, you know, getting older and he knows he can't do it forever and he's trying to transition into something else. Usually when someone starts to transition, like, say, Maria, WWE drops them. Like Mickey James, WWE drops them. Well, Batista, being 41 years old, he has expensive tastes, he has an expensive lifestyle, he likes to travel, he really is a newer version of Ric Flair. And I say newer because he's only, like, what, 20 years younger? He's not, you know, like, he's 22. But he's a newer version of Ric Flair in the way he likes to live his lifestyle, which means he needs to make a lot of money. And he's definitely not getting that in Hollywood right now, with the movie roles he's being offered and whatnot. So he signed another extension. He's going to be on at least another 4 weeks. Whether or not he remains after that will just kind of depend on how things continue to go in Hollywood and whether or not WWE decides that they've had enough with him trying to get in Hollywood and drop him. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Batista in the long term. But what they did here tonight is it's an I Quit match, so you're going to brawl everywhere. So they did a lot of stuff in the crowd, in the stands. They had a bunch of security guys underneath a drop-off on the bleacher seats, whatever. And they Cena threw Batista over the edge, and he landed on the security guys. They caught him. They fought on the stage. And because this was over the limit, and you had that big, like, RPMs, whatever that type of meter is, or odometer, or whatever, that's be on the dashboard of your car, they had cars. They actually had cars sitting on the stage. So, of course, they brawl on the cars, and they're fighting on the cars, and whatever. And Batista ends up dropping John Cena behind one of the cars. So he gets this idea that he's going to get in the car, start up the engine, ram it backwards, make it look like he hit John Cena. Which, okay, sure. I mean, why not? Why not? It's professional wrestling. You know, dumber things have happened, but this is the spot they're going to work out. So, drops John Cena, gets in the car, goes to turn the key, and the car doesn't start on the first try. He has to try it a couple times before the engine finally fires up, which means, more than likely, these are junk cars that they popped a new body on for the sake of this pay-per-view to put up on the stage so that he could crash it or whatever. But he, you know, takes a minute to start it. And while he's sitting there doing that, you can see they put the camera straight on the level of the stage, looking head-on from, you know, the middle of the section of crowd. And they tried to do it in such a way that the car was right next to a stand of spotlights. And that way John Cena could crawl out of the way while this camera is looking dead on the car. And then the car backs up and crashes. And you go, where's John Cena? John Cena. Batista gets out, tries to look for him. The match continues. Instead, John Cena, when he goes to crawl out of the way, they didn't bother to check to see, well, how big is John Cena and how big is this row of lights? So when John Cena crawls out of the way to, you know, get out of the path of this car, you can actually see him moving out of the way. So suddenly you're like, well, John Cena moved. So whatever Batista is going to do here is not going to hurt John Cena. So you think, well, maybe it's gimmicked. He's going to back up, fly through the entry stage. You know, maybe there's going to be some big thing happening there. That might be cool. No. Instead, he backs up and just rams into it and immediately stops right there and plays it off like, oh, I just hit John Cena. Whereas everybody knows John Cena hasn't been hit. And it wasn't like you as a fan were supposed to know John Cena was safe. You as a fan were supposed to think that John Cena was dead. So Batista gets out, goes to look for John Cena. And, of course, John Cena pops up, attacks Batista, hits him with the attitude adjustment on the hood of the car, and Batista does not quit, does not want to end the match. So they brawl a little more, they get up on the car, they're fighting, they get on the roof of the car. Cena hurts up Batista on his shoulders, is ready to hit the attitude adjustment, and Batista screams, I quit, I quit, I quit, I quit, I quit. So they ring the bell, the match is over, and they cut to the shot of the crowd, where you can see the tops of people's heads. And they're looking at Cena and Batista standing on top of this car. And there's a blonde-haired woman right in front of the camera. And because they've rung the bell and they're going to announce the winner, she turns to look at the ring to see what the heck is going on. Is the match over? Is that it? Really? That's how it ends? That's pretty anticlimactic. And while she's looking away, John Cena says, screw it, I've got Batista up, I'm dropping him anyway, and throws him off of the car through a gimmicked section of the stage where he crashes through, hits the crash pad, and bounces. So they set up for this big stunt. Batista says he quits. Attention turns to the ring so everybody can hear what's going on and hear the official word from the ref. And that's when Cena does this big move, so a bunch of people missed it anyway. Because you see her turn back, and she's like, why is there a hole? What happened? So, it was energetic, and it had its moments where it was exciting, but that ending just really left something to be desired. And additionally, they even did a spot where, if you've been watching, you know, Raw the last few weeks, they keep having this problem where they've been putting people in these submission moves and the people aren't submitting and they're passing out. And they even did that here in the match. Put somebody in the submission move, the guy passed out. They said, well, you can't win and I quit match when the guy passes out. So the match just had to be continued. So, you know, I'm going to say that overall, it was a pretty bad pay-per-view. The main event was fine, even though it had that stupid stuff to it. And, you know, CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, except for the blood stoppage, the tag match, it was fine. Everything else, I think, had problems, had more big problems to it. But the show from top to bottom just... Every segment, it seemed like, had some sort of an issue that didn't work. But Cena celebrates that he has beaten Batista to end the show. And he's getting ready to leave, and Sheamus comes out and hits him with the big kick to the face. And so John Cena versus Sheamus is the direction they're going in the future, even though Big Dave has signed an extension on his contract and will be hanging out for a little while longer. So it'll be interesting to see what they actually end up doing here with these guys. Because obviously Cena Sheamus is the direction they want to go for now. But with Batista not leaving, it's hard to say what's going to happen. They've advertised Batista for a bunch of house shows, so of course they assume he's still going to be on television. I guess we'll just have to, you know, wait and see here. But... not a good pay-per-view. A couple good matches, but not a good pay-per-view overall. And, again, if with it being on the same night as Lost, the finale, you would think that this would have to be a super huge show. They would try to, you know, go above and beyond everybody's expectations, try to do anything they could to make people want to buy that replay. And instead, we got a show that, you know, I got done watching the show and I was like, gosh, I would rather watch the season 2 episode of Lost with Nikki and Paolo again, because that would be a much better way to spend your time than watching this show. Not a fan of this show. Just have to wait and see what happens next. Let's see, what's the next pay-per-view? Is that the Fatal 4-Way? So Fatal 4-Way is the next pay-per-view they're going to be building up for. So tomorrow we're supposed to be getting qualifying matches for the four guys who are going to be in the Fatal 4-Way matches. So we'll just have to see how that goes. So everybody, it's nice to have you around for episode 101. If you have not heard our 100th episode spectacular, you can go listen to that now on LockerRoomHQ.com. And because it was the 100th episode, we got some emails, we got some voicemail messages, and I want to read a couple of the emails now. You know, I waited to do this until the end because I know if I try to do it at the beginning, a lot of people are going to be like, I don't want to listen to all that. I just want to hear the wrestling stuff. So that's going to be it for the actual wrestling stuff, but here's some shout-outs from a couple of the people who had sent in some emails. This one is from Andrew Myers, and he says, Dirt, I want to thank you for all the... I want to thank you for all the times that you have made me laugh doing your podcast. You make wrestling the most interesting thing to me, considering I'm not a big wrestling fan. I originally started listening to the MMA podcasts with Scotty Cash and J-Raz, but then I started listening to your wrestling podcast because I had some more time to kill as well. Well, that's great. It's nice to know that you're a good time killer for somebody. It's nice to see you all over the place doing the toy podcast, your TV video podcast, unless he means the Millennium episode recaps, he must be talking about, and to see all the neat stuff you do with comic books, but it is the wrestling podcast that I think I enjoy the most because I am a sports and MMA fan. So anyway, I want to thank you again one more time, and congratulations on 100 episodes. your buddy, Andrew Myers. So thank you for the email, Andrew. Nice to hear from you. Here's another one from a guy called El Hombre. And El Hombre says, I originally saw some video of you on YouTube, and I could see that you were wearing a mask. As a big fan of the luchador style of wrestling, I had to say that I wanted to check out what you guys were doing here on your various websites. It's fun to see all the different things that you guys do, but your wrestling podcast is a lot of fun. It's too bad you don't speak Spanish, because there's a lot of neat stuff going on in Lucha Libre these days, and I wish that you would be able to cover it. You know, I would like to cover Lucha. I really would. A, I don't speak Spanish. B, I don't have any sort of satellite or cable service that gives me any sort of Lucha shows. If I watch any Lucha, I have to find them online, and that's not the easiest thing to do. But what I have seen a Lucha, I do enjoy, even though it's something completely different from, you know, the North American, or I guess I should say the American style of professional wrestling. But, you know, I do enjoy Lucha, and I wish I could. If, you know, if you got a connection down there for Lucha, if you want to cover it, I'd be more than happy to run the show for you, Mr. Hombre. But he goes on to say, I was very interested to hear that AAA was going to be making its way into the United States and that they may even be getting a toy line, and I was hoping that was something that you would be able to cover in the future. Other than that, though, thanks for doing the wrestling podcast and keep up the good work. All right, well, thank you very much. I hope those AAA toys come out, too, because I really want to buy some of those. But last I heard, I think they got canceled, so I'm not sure what the deal is with that. We'll have to see if we can find out some more information. And finally, this one comes from Jane, and that's J-A-Y-N-E, which I believe is much like Lady Jane from G.I. Joe. Connection here? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But she said, thank you for your podcast, even though I can tell that you take a lot of deep breaths in the middle of your show. What are you talking about? I don't know what do you mean? I still enjoy listening to your show. I think you've got a nice voice for doing radio. Uh-oh, is she hitting on me? What's happening here? But the fact that you've made it to 100 episodes shows that you have a lot of staying power. See, she's hitting on me. I'm talking about staying power. I know how this goes. I'm married. Ladies, I'm sorry. I'm spoken for. Gosh, I'm going to be in big trouble here. Regardless, she says, blah, 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 where are we at? You have a lot of staying power. And I enjoy listening to you go on, even though sometimes your voice seems to cut out and you seem to lose your mind, especially when talking about TNA. But 100 episodes is a very... Wait, what is this? But 100 episodes is a very good deal, and you should be proud of yourself for making it to that milestone, considering so many other great podcasts seem to last for about a month or two and then go away. I like to listen to you sometimes when I'm working out and sometimes when I'm driving in the car, and it always makes for an interesting show. Well, thank you very much, Jane. It was glad to hear from you. It was glad to hear from you. I was glad to hear from you. People were glad to hear from you. Everybody's glad to hear from you. I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm just kind of babbling at this point because I was trying to see if I had another email sitting here. I don't know what happened to it, so we're just going to wrap it up for today. I want to thank you guys for listening. We will be taking a look at Raw tonight, be back tomorrow with your recap of Raw. So if you miss out on the show, or hopefully I can just have some more analysis, news, things you missed on there. Don't forget, if there's things I missed, you can always let me know about it by calling our phone number, our voicemail line. It's an automated voicemail line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you don't actually have to talk to anybody. It's just area code 217-953-4025. If you want to talk to somebody, shoot me an email and I can answer it when you call. But otherwise, you can shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com or dirt@dirtmound.com. Either one of those will get directly to me. You can always stop by lockerroomhq.com, go to our forums, stop by the pro wrestling section, drop me a note there. And we also have lots of sections on the Pop Culture Network about everything else. If you want to check out the rest of the Pop Culture Network, we talk about toys and comic books, video games, the whole nine yards. So anything you want to find, you can find it on the Pop Culture Network, including pro wrestling podcasts. Although I say podcasts, it's just this podcast. This is the only wrestling one. But if you want your own, shoot me an email. Maybe we can work something out. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow with your look at Raw.
It's about time. My English is not so good. And you're from Oklahoma, and your English is even worse. I like puppies.
You're not a bad man.
Jerry Stupid Lola!
Shut up your face!
I like puppies! Big puppies! Little puppies! Clean puppies!
you shut up your face?
And dirty puppy.
Jerry stupid roller.
Holy pasta fagioli.
Shut up your face.
Don't touch him, he's a movie star.
What the hell was that?
You're not the Batman.
I'm gonna open a can of the ass whip, so big. I'm gonna spray it all over your big fat head. And that is the bottom line.
Shut up your face.
I like puppies. Jerry stupid roller.
In fact,
I like puppies. Big puppies, little puppies, clean puppies,
and dirty puppies.
We finally meet.
You're not the Batman.
It's about time. I make fun of women because I have no self-esteem.
If I wanted to, I could come down there and beat you like a rented mule or a mule for purchase.
Shut up your face.
Bottom line is, if there's a livestock involved, I'll beat you like it. But that's not what I want.
Don't touch him, he's a movie star.
Holy pasta fagioli.
Santino Morel.
Jerry stupid roller.
You're not the Batman.
Shut up your face.
It's about time.
Shut up your face.
What the hell was that?
Shut up your face.